That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Lafondra looking to get Colside of Font. Lafondra away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to another Elm Park Royals podcast in association with Blue Collar Street Food. I'm joined today by two people who actually made the trip to Huddersfield. Give them your condolences. Alex, how are you, Alex?
I'm doing better than I was doing last night.
Yeah, so. I mean, I did take the mickey out of you last week for not going to Coventry, so I do feel like maybe you've made up for it this week.
Thank you. I'm glad you're back in your good books.
Yeah, well, it's a short list. And then also Matt Lansley, how are you doing, Matt?
Yeah, echoing Alex, really. as Paunovic said, yesterday was one to forget for us fans, I think.
I've won for the fans, for almost everyone. Like, well, maybe not Huddersfield supporters. They probably had quite a good day. But, I mean, where do you start? Give us your thoughts, Matt. Just obviously, it wasn't a good day. Can you take any positives at all out of yesterday?
Oh, starting on a high note, aren't we?
Well, I think we're going to come on to the worst bits. So let's try.
I got back at 8:30 in the evening and not 9:30. I was able to have dinner at a half decent hour. Christ, I'm scraping at the barrel, really, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Alex, you drove all the way. Do you regret that now?
No, I don't regret driving, but mainly just because the drive was quite nice.
I've heard that the people of Huddersfield are nice too.
Except for the steward who told me to come back soon as we left, which I thought was a little bit harsh, but everybody else seemed nice.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised. It is very much one where I think they'd like to play us every week. Shall we get into the actual action of the game? Reading didn't start the game particularly well, but weathered the opening period. I don't know what we're going to say on this podcast, really. Alex, we didn't start well, did we?
No. It's one of the hallmarks of a Veljko Paunovic era Reading team, isn't it? Poor first 10 minutes when we look like we might concede. The first 10 minutes were really, really shaky. And Holmes was beaten a number of times. Low crosses coming into the box from Holmes' side in the first 10 minutes. And it just looked very, very much a continuation of the game against Coventry from kickoff.
Yeah, I mean, after that period, Matt, Reading did come into the game slightly. And I think this is probably the only real period of the game to take anything from. Like, Junior Hoylett got into some nice-ish positions. TDB played a really nice through ball to him at one point. Didn't create much, though.
No, and I think there was a bit of frustration at Hoylett, definitely in the stands yesterday. But I think that there wasn't much more I think he could do actually getting into positions, because he was getting into a few good positions early on. He was beating the right back quite a lot. He was finding himself running one-on-one with a centre-back on the left-hand side quite a few times. Like you say, there was just very little end product at the end of that. I mean, he had a couple of shots, but I mean, they went pretty high and wide, really. And there weren't really any cutbacks or crosses to note, really, from him or that came to anything. But I mean, positionally, he looked quite good. I mean, he looked to tire quite early, I think, though, as well. He looked a little bit on the unfit side, but it's his first full game. You know, he's not had a full preseason. But I think there was, if you want kind of a little bit of hope from yesterday, there was Junior Hoylett in that first bit of the first half was quite good. He was asking questions and causing a few problems down the left. So,
Alex, is it surprising that we swapped TDB and Højlund over from last week when they played on opposite wings, or are we expecting to see Højlund on that left wing now?
I mean, I think Højlund is technically a left winger generally, and that's where he played for Cardiff. I was a little surprised because it does mean that you're left, especially once we had to slot Yeardom into left back after McIntyre's injury. I was a little surprised to see Højlund play at left wing because it really limited anything we could do down the right-hand side. Dele Bashiru is not a wide player at all, and he tucked in a lot. Holmes, we've seen, doesn't get forwards from right back. So it really limited our movement going forwards to just going down the left-hand side. So I probably would have preferred to have seen it the way around, if I'm honest. But I guess it was a case of if Højlund's strongest position is left wing, you're already playing God knows how many players out of position anyway. What difference would a two more have made?
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, obviously, when Ovi comes back in, maybe Højlund drops out of the team, but they play in similar areas, even if not necessarily in a similar way, I guess. Maybe we're trying to set up a team that, as you say, has a number of people in the right position, even if other people are not necessarily there. Things sort of went downhill from that point, and Yeardom was involved pretty early on. Sinani had a free kick which hit the post, but then again, Lancey, it was never a free kick, was it?
No, no. And watching from behind the goal, it was just an abysmal decision from linesman and referee. I mean, Yeardom, he gets, like, you can see it in the highlights. You can see the ball bobbling away. it's like Yeardom gets it. It should have been a corner, but I mean, yeah, it was. I think the ref, well, we quite often say it about championship refs, but he wasn't the best. But I mean, yeah, it just wasn't. It wasn't even a foul. It was a corner.
Whilst I'm sure he's not listening to the podcast, full credit to Yeardom because it was a great tackle, actually.
Yeah.
It was a great tackle, but I think that maybe it was sort of indicative of his problems down that side where he just always went to tackle with his right foot. And I don't, that's not on Yeardom because obviously he's a right-footed player playing at left back. I don't know what you can expect from that. But I mean, it's really difficult because obviously our left back choices other than Yeardom are very young and very inexperienced. That's changed now with the signing of Barbar Rahman. But would you have preferred to see Bristow, Alex, or were you, I mean, it, with hindsight, it's obviously not happy with how the game's played out, but at the time, were you happy to see Yeardom on the left?
At the time, yes, probably, because I think it was a case of, at least this way, you get to play Holmes at right back, which we've seen last year was relatively successful. I'm not saying it's like a first choice, but it at least worked. So I guess at kickoff, yes, it didn't seem like the worst decision ever. I think, unfortunately, both of them didn't have a great game. And the two Huddersfield wingers essentially just tore them both to shreds. Either because of their pace, in Holmes' case, or because, yeah, they're not suited to playing, as you say, not suited to playing on the left-hand side when they're right-footed in Yeardom's case.
Yeah, and I mean, things didn't get much better for Yeardom as the first goal went in. It's the second time in a week a slip has cost us a goal, really. Although that really isn't the whole... Before you jump in, Alex, that's not the whole case. Like, that's not the whole issue.
This is actually not to do with the goal, but there was an awful lot of Reading players who slipped over yesterday. Højlund slipped over at least four or five times.
Højlund was the one over. That slipped over last week as well, I think, for the final goal.
I don't
goal.
Quite know what's going on with that. But it's not... It can't be that usual to see that many slips. In the first half alone, I can remember at least four.
So what we're saying is... Sack the physio team for all the injuries and sack the kit man for not providing the right boots.
Yes.
Is there going to be anyone in Reading's backroom staff left?
There's not many of them at the moment, so probably not.
No. Well, let's come on to the actual goal, Matt. So Yeardom slips. And take us from there.
Christ. Yeardom slips. The ball gets crossed. The ball gets put in. What happens in between there is just unbelievable. it was really baffling because so much during the game you saw, obviously the two holding midfielders, Rinomoto and Laurent, be split. You know, because Hoylett and Deli Bashiri, they weren't really coming back. They weren't offering any help defensively. Like, that's obviously not really on them because they've obviously been told to stay forwards. Laurent and Rinomoto were splitting and coming wide so much yesterday. I mean, it was happening time after time, and it was leaving us so open. Obviously, Yeardom gets beaten. Moore starts getting drawn out, and Laurent also then comes out of nowhere and just bolts across, and it just leaves so much space in front of the back four. Moore and Laurent don't really do anything to stop the cross. One of them should have. If Laurent's going to be the one that's told to come over, I know we were discussing it before the game, and Moore shouldn't really come across. But I mean, Moore at that point was seeing one player run at him, so you can see why he was going over. But Laurent can't be bolting over there as well because it just drew two people completely out. But then, I mean, when you watch the highlights, you see, I can't even remember who scored the goal for Huddersfield, but it's Rinomoto's man. Rinomoto's, he's marking him about 30 yards out. They're running back. He drifts off him. Cross comes in. Somehow it goes through Rinomoto's legs. I thought at the time he went to clear it, but he doesn't. It just, I don't know whether or not he's expecting a touch in front or what he's really expecting there. But he just lets it run straight through his legs, and it's the easiest goal the Huddersfield chap will probably score in his career, really, because it was 6 yards out and he's never missing. You know, Raphael tries to guess, but, you know, that's all you can do, really, in a keeper in that situation. You know, that's not on him. It was just mistake after mistake, that first goal. And it's not the first time we've seen it, because, like I say, this season, I don't know what Paolo's trying to do with the defensive midfielders, but they're being pulled out so much, and it's just leaving. You see it in the goal. There's no one in about 20 yards between our defensive line and our attacking midfielders, you know, and wingers. It's just baffling because it's leaving so much space there, and it's easy to see. It's so clear to see, but yet no one's seeing it, and it's happening time and time again, or no one in the coaching staff are seeing it.
Lewis O'Brien is the man that scored the goal. Maybe that's why he's linked with Leeds, because he gets finishes like that. But also, I think one of the things you've said there is really interesting, and it's mistake after mistake, which is just, it kind of sums up, I don't know how many goals this season, Alex, but at least three of them today.
Yeah, and so many of them can be attributed back to individual errors. And there comes a point when the narrative around whether things are bad because of set pieces or whether things are bad because of the coaching, ultimately the players are still on the field. And if they make the mistakes to concede goals, they make the mistakes. And it feels like Yeardom slips, Laurent and Moore don't manage to clear it, Rinomoto doesn't do anything, loses his man, doesn't clear it. Raphael makes a valiant-ish attempt to try and save it. I mean, that's what, 1, 2, 3, is that five players out of 11?
Yeah, I mean,
that's five players out of 11 who really haven't done anything to try and affect that goal not going in. So yeah, it's very kind of, it's frustrating to watch, because it's, although things like Matt was saying, that the holding midfield is being dragged wide, it's clearly part of the tactics that they're now playing. Ultimately, we should still be able to defend it was a relatively simple low cross into the area. It wasn't a worldie of a cross or anything like that. It was very simple, like, placed ball into the area. So to concede such a simple goal yet again, just absolutely, just completely frustrating to see that just before half time.
Yeah, and so at half time it was 1-0, and I think I posted in the group chat, like, it feels harsh to blame this on Paunovic for all the reasons you've just said, Alex. And I think he will get some blame because, for all the reasons you said, Matt, because he set the side up tactically probably a little bit wrong. But at that point, it didn't feel like we were completely out of the game, did it, Matt?
No, I mean, it was only 1-0. You know, you keep it. It's one goal you need is one chance, you know, as they always say. I mean, did we really look like scoring? I mean, there was glimpses in the first bit of the first half. But, I mean, you know, you can't come out and then concede almost straight away like we did, like, you know, within 5 minutes. It was just... At that point, you just lose all kind of hype for the game. It's like it was, but yeah, at like half time, it wasn't completely out of it. You would have hoped we would have come out and actually shown a bit more than we did in the first half, because it, after like you said, after about 15 minutes, it just went so downhill for Reading. I mean, we were never really in that first half. You would have thought they would have come out with just a little bit of like of panache going forward, a little bit of just trying, but it just never materialized really until we were fully out of the game.
Yeah, I wonder, it feels like we can see goals at really bad times recently. Like, as you say, you want to come out and you want to go forwards, and then TDB, who is another that's involved in a couple of these goals, makes a pretty rash challenge. And from that free kick, Alex, it's 2-0. I mean, it was a good ball in. Could we have defended it better?
I mean, always, right? We did concede. So, yes, the answer's got to be yes. So it's a great ball. Don't get me wrong. He's put it in. Thomas has put it into the exact area where defending it is going to be very difficult, right in between the goalkeeper and where the defence are. There's definitely an argument, though, that as a unit, one of them needs to be deciding whose responsibility is it. Is that the defence's responsibility if the ball goes over into the danger area behind them and Raphael needs to come and claim it? Or do the defence need to drop deeper so that Raphael doesn't have to come and claim it in the first place? Because between them, they've essentially let, I cannot remember the goal scorer for the second goal, Pearson, right? They've essentially let Matty Pearson drift between the two groupings of the keeper and the defence, and he taps home from about 4 yards, 5 yards, and it's such an easy finish for him, partly because of how good the ball is. But Reading have literally just let Pearson drift in between them because they don't seem to know really how to defend a free kick, which is or even any set piece, I guess, currently. They don't know how to defend a set piece, which is well taken and is causing danger. It feels like they're not quite sure still what responsibility is.
Can we clear one thing up, though, Alex? That wasn't zonal marking, was it? That was just...
It wasn't really marking at all, let's be honest.
No, well, yeah.
People's frustration with zonal marking is all well and good, but yesterday's goal, A, wasn't zonal marking, and B, we conceded 4 goals. So let's take a little bit of a step back from we need to get rid of zonal marking, because we lost 4-0. What difference? Yeah. If we hadn't conceded the goal from the free kick, we still were probably going to concede again anyway. So... I'm a little bit lost with the narrative on, you know, stop zonal marking, because we did it last year, at least with a mix of man to man and zonal, and nobody complained last year when we weren't conceding from zonal marking. So I think it's one of those things that people only ever trot out when it's going very, very badly.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, all the teams basically do it now. And it's mainly that we do it from corners and not from free kicks anyway. So I thought that Liam Moore probably should have disrupted Matty Pearson a little bit more than he did. I always feel a little bit bad criticising Liam Moore, because I do think he gets some unnecessary criticism on Twitter based on what has happened previously. But I think it's probably justified in this sense. Let's move swiftly on to the next awful defending, Matt. 3-0, Sorba Thomas, who was very rightly picked out in our preview pod last week with And He Takes That Chance. He Well, I've just mentioned Liam Moore. He doesn't do that well on this either, does he, Matt?
No. And to be fair, we were warned, like you say. I mean, it was pretty much all they were saying in the preview pod, wasn't it? About Thomas being just the one, really, being the next coming of the Messiah. And I mean, it's a fantastic run, but my God, Liam Moore again gets pulled out to the left. He tries to tackle, but it's just feeble, really. I mean,
Moore gets bulldozed for the first goal. Thomas just runs through him.
Yeah. Completely. Yeah. And there's no way about it. You know, you can't be doing that. One, as a captain, two, even as a defender. You know, it's so feeble from Moore, really. I mean, brilliant run. I mean, he takes it from about 40 yards, doesn't he? And just solo runs all the way in, and it's a cracking finish. But again, it's just comical defending, really. You know, like we say, we never want to give Moore that much credit, because he does get a lot of unjustified credit. But I'm sure he will look at himself after that goal. But I mean, again, it's not the first time that's happened to him.
My issue with Liam Moore on this goal is I don't really understand what he's trying to do.
No.
It feels like he's trying to force him wide to begin with, and then he still manages to cut inside him.
Yeah, because he kind of backs away from Thomas. He looks like he's trying to push him wide, but then he backs away from Thomas, so he lets Thomas kind of like walk back inside again. It almost appears like he's been caught in two minds about what to do. He's wanted to push him wide and then decided that actually that wasn't the best idea, and by that point Thomas is just outside the penalty area, and he's only got to beat Liam Moore, and he's for on goal. I think that's not the first time that's happened to Liam Moore this season. It seems like it's a bit of an ongoing theme that he gets caught in two minds quite a lot, not really knowing what he should be doing when someone's running at him one-on-one, whether he should be kind of pushing them out wide or trying to take them on. And he seems to look back at previous Reading players. It's very similar to what Chris Gunter used to do, where he kind of stood off a player and let when a player was running at him. And Gunter often got a lot of criticism for that, I know, even if it was sometimes the correct thing to do. But as a central defender, I'm not sure you can really just let a player run almost directly towards the goal like that from so far out.
I do think it is worth noting, though, because obviously Yeardon was so high up the pitch late. I mean, that's why he was pulled. Obviously, we were pushing for a goal. It was 2-0 down. It was a classic counter attack, really. So, you know, Moore had a tough job right from the start, because I mean, he's looking at Thomas running from him from the left, where, you know, Yeardon usually would be. You know, he's in a position that he doesn't want to be in, really, there, because he's having to now try and contain someone running at him from about 40 yards, because he's got no left back there, you know. And it's not really Yeardon was high up, obviously, like I say, because we're pushing, but Moore is in a very tough position there. Like, he needs to do better when he puts the tackle in, that's granted. But I mean, it was, you know, if you watch the highlights, you'll see there is about 20-30 yards of space that he's got for, and until he almost gets to, you know, 30-20 yards out, you know, the edge of the box, when Moore finally comes to him.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point, actually, because something I was going to say as well, it feels like even from the preseason games, our left back has been incredibly high, and we've been leaving that space open a lot. And I'm surprised that we haven't found a way to fix that yet. I mean, in fairness, TDB, again, is terrible on this goal. He almost gives the ball away, passing it to Swift, and then passes it straight to Huddersfield. And he's also the left CDM, I think, at that point. And just he's then higher than he should be. And yeah, as you say, leaves that massive open space. But it's another that feels like a combination of individual mistakes and Pauno getting it tactically wrong. What I would say in Liam Moore's defence is that John Swift also does not put a tackle in after he gets by Liam Moore. Obviously, John Swift has done a lot of good things this season. Maybe tackling isn't one of them. I mean, we'll move on to the final goal. Alex, just please tell me what Michael Morrison is thinking of, because I don't know.
I didn't actually realise Michael Morrison was there for the last goal.
Well, he wasn't. That he was
turned,
the problem.
He turned up about 4 minutes later. So, it was good of him to join the party, you know, after the goal had actually gone in. Holmes is beaten on the left by Thomas again, I think.
Yeah, Thomas.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't Thomas. It was.
Was it Caroma?
Caroma.
It was Caroma.
Caroma.
He's beaten easily on the left again. Holmes gets about a 2 or 3 yard head start, and Caroma just knocks it past him, and he's gone. And you could, as soon as Caroma goes past him, just inside the Reading half, he's pretty much given the freedom of the Reading end to kind of advance towards the goal. And once he's in the penalty area, it's a simple knock across to
Ward
to knock it in. There's really very, very little defensive challenge there for Caroma. He's not really put under much pressure at all. Learmonth tries to get in a block once Ward's got the ball. Doesn't, you know, it's too late by that point, though. Raphael tries to come out to claim the ball from Caroma. Doesn't manage it. Caroma cuts it back, and Ward's got a tap in. And then Michael Morrison arrived.
Michael Morrison was.
I don't know where Michael Morrison is for that goal at all.
Well, so he pushes out right into where our defensive midfielders should be to close down Ward. So he's the one that's meant to be focusing on Ward, but he never gets back in. And Liam Moore, to be fair to him, on this goal is trying to track someone else, and he tracks him across. And in my mind, it's 100% Morrison's fault. Well, mixed in with Holmes not managing to make a tackle. Matt, do you see it in a different way?
No, and to be fair, when you look back at it, I actually have some sympathy for Moore there, because I think what can he do there? He's got a defensive line with just him and Yeardom left. Yeardom behind him. He's covering at left centre back. He's now got to pull almost across into right back to try and do something, because Morrison is lost in action. And he's put in an impossible position there. Moore can't really, he'll probably get a lot of stick, but you look at that goal and what Morrison is doing, God only knows. Holmes, he is so lost for pace on the outside there. We saw it at the time. I remember saying to Alex at the time, he's beating for pace here, and then lo and behold, he cuts around him almost Gareth Bale-esque off the pitch, you know, and rounds him. And I think Holmes, he tries to bring him down there. It's the right thing to do, but he has to bring him down. He can't, because he's looking over at two defenders against two Huddersfield players, and one of them's being pulled out, is Moore, leaving one on two, you know, with Yeardom having to cover two Huddersfield attackers. It's an impossible position, but if you have, at least if you had Morrison there and back, it might have averted something. It might have given a little bit more support, but it's just another comical goal, really, to concede. You look at it and you just think, there's like I say, where is everyone? Where are the defensive midfielders? Where is Morrison? It's just, and I think Morrison actually had a very, very, very poor game yesterday. I think not many people are going to pick up on it, because I think a lot of people still respect him a lot from last year. But he's had a very poor season so far as well. We were talking about it on the way home. He looks like he's lost more than a yard of pace. He looks like somebody who's in the latter stages of his career, which, to be fair, is he 32, 33? He is. But, the step down from last year, seemingly, has been massive from Morrison. And maybe that's why he doesn't make the ground up to get back for the goal. But, he had a really, really poor game on the whole yesterday, Morrison.
One thing that I would say, and I know I've just put the blame 100% on Michael Morrison, so maybe I'm backtracking slightly, is that Josh Lauren, and it sort of reminds me of Liam Moore against Wigan last year. Josh Lauren is jogging back to get in and really Like, I know we're 3-0 down. I know that we're not going to win the game, but he's not putting in that effort to get back. And I don't know, Alex, am I being harsh?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, I get that we're 3-0 down and I get you've just conceded a goal 2 minutes prior, but, you know, don't... It's the same thing we all said about Liam Moore 2 years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago. Fans still want to see you putting in the effort to at least attempt to try and stop a goal. If you're not going to do that, then if you're losing 4-0 and you're putting the effort in and you're giving a performance, then fans are going to at least accept it. If you're putting 4-0 performances in and jogging back to try and stop what is a certain goal, people aren't going to accept it. It isn't really good enough in that sense to be, you know, 20 yards behind the play and not at least attempting to get involved with it by that point. One thing we didn't mention there is that goal came 90 seconds after the third goal. It wasn't late on, that goal. It was very quick from 2-0 to 4-0.
And like, I think it's an interesting point around Laurent, because I think we were talking about it yesterday on the way home. Like, I mean, I think no one's really given him much criticism this year, but he is another one that has had a massive step down from last year. I mean, he, like, again, I don't know if it's the way that we're setting up differently and he's being pulled out of position more because he's having to cover the fullbacks so much more, but he's not even close to the player that he was last year. I mean, like, I think did some people kind of overhype him last year? Some people might have maybe, but like, I mean, Laurent has been pretty poor really again, another one that's been pretty poor for the whole season. I mean, to be fair, we could probably make a case for a lot of them being poor so far this season. But again, you know, you look at two of the best players from last year, Morrison and Laurent, and they're nowhere near the levels they were last year. So you can draw your own conclusions, but like, I think he's probably one that's probably escaped a lot of criticism this year when he probably could have headed some of them, and fourth goal yesterday being prime example.
Yeah, I think the fourth goal for me kind of sums up all the problems that we have in the club, you know, in total. See, I don't know if the international break is a silver lining or not. Obviously, with the signings coming in, I imagine we'll be putting out a different team next time we see Reading. Alex, will we have a different manager? Do you think that Paulo can turn this around?
I don't think we'll have a different manager. Whether he can turn it around is a different question. I don't honestly know is the answer. You know, it's not a 5-game stretch of us being poor now. I know that Paulo said yesterday in his interview after the game that it's not relevant to look back to last season and look at the first or look at the last 15 games from last season when we were also very poor and struggled to defend then as well. And I think I saw a stat yesterday which said we've conceded at least two goals in 7 of the last 8 games now. That feels like a statistic that's pretty damning against the manager. I think he's going to get given a little bit more time still, if only because we've brought players in. Now, you don't have to give him that chance, I guess, but it feels like the chance needs to be given to him just to see if anything changes once you're given players who are of a slightly higher quality in those positions where we've been lacking. I think he's probably on the edge, though. I would suggest if we go into the next international break in October and we're still languishing in 21st, 22nd, 23rd, I would say he's going to be on very, very thin ice by that point, and it wouldn't surprise me if he's sacked during the next international break, if that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, same question, really. Like, is there a can you see a way out of this?
Right now, I think it's very hard to see a way out of it. I mean, I think as Alex said, it's a very it's not a new problem that we've got. And defensively, we were very poor towards the end of last season. The stat that Alex brought up, they're conceding 2 goals in 7 of the last 8. That's a shocking statistic. And the fact that we've conceded 13 in 5 league games, 16 in 6 in all competitions. Yes, that cup game's a little bit, obviously, out there, obviously, because we had, you know, 17, 18-year-olds out there. But that is, whatever way you try and paint it, 13 in 5 is shocking, you know, in any part of the season, let alone the start of a season, which, I mean, to be fair, we looked at the start of the season and we thought it's a pretty easy start to the season. It's not the hardest you'll ever see. You know, we haven't come up against a Fulham. We haven't come up against a West Brom at all. But, you know, to be fair, like, a lot of the teams we have played have actually ended up in the top half. Like, I think the lowest team we've actually played, Preston, wasn't it? But I mean, a lot of them have actually ended up near the top or around the playoffs. But I mean, we come back from the international break and we've got QPR straight out the blocks. I mean, like that, the way QPR are playing and the way we're defending, you look at that and that could be another 3-4 nil, you know, because they're scoring for fun at the moment. We can't bloody keep a clean sheet to save our lives, you know, and it's really hard to see a way out of this. You know, hopefully Paulo can maybe look back to the start of last year and see what he was doing so well then, but that could well have been because nobody knew him, nobody knew what to expect. But I mean, something was clicking then. If there's something that gives me hope that he might be able to pull this around, it's last season or the first part of last season, because he was able to do something then. But
the further we get from that, the less relevant it becomes.
Well, exactly. Like, but it's. Do I think he'll be sacked? No, because yes, I'm quite annoyed at him and how he's set up and how he's actually setting up the team this season. But I mean, if you sack him now, you're not signing any players over the next few days, because no one's going to join a team which doesn't have a manager. You know, it just won't happen. But it's probably going to be very much like a Gomez situation when Gomez was in charge, you know, where it will get towards the second international break. And if he's still there, he's going to be gone, I think, you know, because we know what the owners are like. They never hang about with pulling the trigger. It's just the way they are, how they've run the club. Is it probably the best way? Maybe not. But yeah, it's hard to see a way out of it. And to be fair, our games after the international break, I think we play Fulham as well, Borough. You know, the tough games are starting to come, you know, now, or the preconceived tough games are starting to come. So,
on the subject of Paunovic's position, Matt, if we were to get rid of Paunovic at some point in the next 6 weeks, let's say, would anybody actually trust the club to end up making the right decision in terms of the next manager choice anyway?
Well, that entirely depends on whether Brian Tevreden comes in. But let's not get into that. We don't have time to talk about that. One thing that I would say is that I think that teams are high up in the table and that we've played because we've been giving them so many points.
That's true.
Like, those teams wouldn't be that high if they'd lost to us.
It's very true. You know,
like, And that's easier to say early on in the season, obviously. Like, after 20 games, I think it becomes more solidified and when everyone's played everyone. I guess the one thing that might be, like, that I grasp hold of for hope is that we have been in most games. Like, this was the first game where we were really blown away, and Alex has given me a face, but it is the first league game we've lost by more than one goal.
It is. I think that we have been dominated by most teams, but it's certainly Coventry dominated.
Yeah, but that's one out of
Bristol.
I think Bristol did as well.
Bristol,
I mean, the Bristol game was a little bit of an anomaly because we were 2 down in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I think it's hard. Like, I think that the Preston result is more that Preston are bad than we're good. There's definitely that.
But I guess perhaps you're right, but then we're talking about 4-5 games, right? So,
yeah.
And we've lost 4 of them, so it doesn't. I mean, it's a positive to cling on to, maybe. But
well, I think the thing
very
is
slim positive.
you have to then turn those slim defeats into points in some way, draws or wins.
Yes.
You definitely don't want to go the other way and start losing 4-0. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, the team, as I say, could look completely different by QPR. So maybe that'll be good. Maybe Danny Drinkwater will be the answer to all of life's problems. Or, you know, whoever turns
having
up.
Having a left back, actually playing left back might do something, but who knows?
Yeah, I mean,
we're hoping at this stage.
We've sort of discussed this already, but I do somewhat feel like our left back is set up to fail a little bit. But I mean, yeah, having someone with a left foot playing there is probably a start. We've taken 40 minutes, and I doubt anyone really wants to listen to 40 minutes after a 4-0 loss. So maybe we should wrap this up. Alex, do you have any final words?
Thank goodness we got 2 weeks off from watching Reading now.
Well, actually, quick one. The women's team are actually in action on Friday, and you should watch that because it's on Sky against Manchester United. They kick off the WSL league season. I'm not sure if we're going to do anything for it, but I'll have a party on my Twitter, if nothing else. Matt, any other final comments?
Let's hope the women's team can restore a bit of pride to Reading. Like, let's hope they can get a win. Because
Sorry, go on.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, like Alex says, thank God we've got two weeks off from watching the same crap that we have for the last few weeks, let's be honest, because it's just been dismal.
Yeah, I mean, one good thing for the women's team, they were the only team to take points or take a win from Manchester United away, which is where they start. So hopefully we'll be talking about a win next time we're back, even if it's not for the men's team. thanks very much, Alex. Thanks, Matt. I'm sorry that you had to travel all that way to see it, but it's good that somebody did. I noticed that you two didn't buy any donuts for anyone, but that's another story again. Alex, you look confused. Have you seen Twitter?
No, I haven't seen this.
Okay, well, just someone bought donuts for all the travelling fans. Apparently not you two, but
no. Well,
I think it was the coaches. Gone,
so, oh, full credit then.
Yeah, well done, absolutely. I think there is still a offer out for that guy. If you want to DM EPR, then there's a free mug waiting for you. That's a positive to end on, right? And I think, actually, what I remember, if you DM EPR, if you're not the donut guy, you'll be entered into a draw to win a free mug. Ah, mugs for everyone. Or you could buy them and support the podcast. We still sell them, right? I think we still sell them. This is normally Paul's bit, and I'm just gonna fade us out now. Thanks, guys, and see you after the international break.